Here we go. So good evening, everyone. We're going to start off just by wishing a refuah shlema to all Chole Amo Yisrael. And please, if you do have any names in mind, please have them in mind. That Bezat Shem, all Cholim should have a refuah shlema, refuah nefesh, refuah haguf. Bekarov mamash, it should be very, very soon, and you know all of the suffering that many of us, many of our family members, friends, family members have been dealing with. All of that should Bezat Shem disappear immediately. Okay, so let's get started. So, you know, once again, I'm going to say this every single week for some time now. There is so much to discuss in each one of these parashiyot. I don't even know where to start. I don't know where to start. It's going to sound very familiar to you on a weekly basis, so I'm sorry if it's being a little repetitive, but I really feel the same way every week. These parashiyot, they're like, you could make, you know, lehavdil elef havdalot, but like, you could make maybe like 10 different movies out of every parasha, and every movie is going to break the box office, you know? They're going to be amazing. What amazing storylines and amazing lessons to learn out of every single parasha. So let's start with this. Start from the beginning. So the parasha begins. This is obviously at the end of last week's parasha. We had Avraham Avinu doing the Brit Milah for himself. Tremendous Mesirut Nefesh that he did it. He signed that covenant, that Brit with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the beginning of this week's parasha, it's like in a way you watch a TV show, Lehavdil. You know, previously on, you know, whatever show it was, you know, so previously on Sefer Bereshit, Avraham Avinu, you know, gave himself a Brit Milah and was in a lot of pain. So picking up where we left off, Avraham Avinu is in a lot of pain. He's sick. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, none other than Hashem, comes to visit him. So the parasha begins, Vayirah alav Hashem be'elonei mamre, u'yashev petach ha'oel kochom hayom. So Avraham Avinu was there. He was resting, trying to recover, and none other than Melech Malchei HaMelachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to visit him. Yes, I am recording this, William. So he came to visit him, right? And we all know it was on the third day of the Milah, the most painful one. And despite that, Avraham Avinu left his home to go outside and to see, are there any sick people? Are there any people, passerbyers, people that need maybe a place to stay? We know Avraham Avinu was famous for his midah of chesed and achnasat orchim. So he stood outside, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Avraham Avinu is going to inconvenience himself and trouble himself to go and invite sick people. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He took the sun out of its casing to make it extremely hot, so that maybe Avraham Avinu should not stay outside, should go inside, and maybe there some guests might not pass by. Fine. But anyways, what happened was, Vayisa'a anav vayar, and Avraham Avinu lifted his eyes. What did he see? Oh, Baruch Hashem! V'hineh shlosha anashim nitzavim alav. Three people were passing by. He said, oh, Baruch Hashem, thank you. Vayar, tzakir. He ran towards them. Mipetach oel v'yishtachu arza. He ran towards them. They bowed to each other. And look at this next pasuk. Vayomar, and he said, Adonai, imna matzati chen be'enecha, na tavor me'alav decha. Okay, what does that pasuk mean? So, there are two different ways to understand this pasuk. Both of them, we're going to learn tremendous lessons from. Number one. One opinion says, who is he talking to? He's talking to Hashem. Hashem came to visit him. He's basically chilling with the God. And he saw three people passing by. So what did he say? Vayomar, Hashem! Imna matzati chen menecha, if I found favor in your eyes, al na tavor malavdecha, please, don't go anywhere. I have some guests that I need to take care of. Stay here, don't go anywhere, I'll be back. what does that mean? God came to visit you. You're telling God that I'll be back? Please be here and don't go anywhere. I have more important things to take care of. What could be more important than greeting the face of God? What could be more important than that? So in fact, from here the Gemara learns, Gedola achnasat orchim me'akbalat pnei shechina. That yes, in fact, achnasat orchim, welcoming in some guests that have no place to go to, no place to eat, no place to drink, no place to sleep, is greater than greeting the face of the Shekhinah. Wow. Wow. That's unbelievable. Avraham Avinu did that. That's what we learned from there. But let's take it a step further. I mean, come on. That's a nice pshat. Rabbi Cohen, I like that pshat. It's not my pshat. It's a Gemara's pshat. But yeah, it's a nice pshat. It's very fluffy, but let's be real over here. Is it really greater than greeting Pnei Shekhinah? We know that every single mitzvah, what's the purpose of a mitzvah? The mitzvah comes from the word tzavta. Tzavta means a bond, a connection. And ultimately, the main point of a mitzvah is what? Is to connect yourself to Hashem. So Avraham Avinu is going to Achnasat Orchim. Why? Because that's going to connect him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a deeper way, doing Hashem's will. But he already has that connection with Hashem. Hashem came to visit him. He has that connection. He has that bond. Why is he leaving that bond in order to go and, you know, someone comes and hands you $1 million. And you say, no, I want $1 million. So I'm going to go work. But by not handing it to you, your goal is fulfilled. You're working in order to make money. I gave you the money. What are you going to work for? Says the Moranayim. Unbelievable. What was Avraham Avinu saying to Hashem? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I feel your presence right now. I feel your presence in such a strong and deep way. I feel on fire. I feel inspired. I feel enthusiastic. I feel passionate. Because you're next to me. But I want that feeling to stay with me. Even when I move on to go and do other mitzvot. Sometimes in life we have those feelings, those moments of inspiration. But they don't last forever. What Avraham Avinu was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want it to last forever. I want this feeling, this itlavut, this feeling, wow, I'm on fire, I'm so excited to do your will. I'm so motivated. I want that to stay with me. Don't go anywhere. Stay with me. I'm going to fulfill a mitzvah, v'achnasat orchim. I want to feel your presence with me wherever I go. When I go and do those mitzvot as well. Tremendous lesson. But that's one way to understand the pasuk. That Avraham Avinu was speaking to God. There's another way to understand the pasuk. And from this second way, there are tremendous lessons that are learned. He wasn't speaking to Hashem. He was speaking to the angels. He said to the angels, Vayomar Adonai. Adonai could also mean master. Al na tavor me'alavdecha. Don't pass by. Don't walk by me. Don't pass over my tent. Please come in. Stay here. Rest. Relax. Let me honor you. Let me take care of you. He was begging them to stay so that he could help them out and care for their needs. So the Aruch HaKadosh asks an amazing question. How many people came to visit Avraham? Three people. There were the angels, right? Three people. So if three people came, seemingly Avraham Avinu was speaking to all three of them when he told them not to pass by. But if you look at the Pasuk, what does the Pasuk say? Vayomar, Im na matzati chen benecha, al na ta'avor me'alavdecha. That's in the singular tense. It's not in the plural. Avraham Avinu is speaking to one person, to one of them, not to all three. But what happened to the other two? Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, something unbelievable. Listen to this, guys. This is unbelievable. Really, really inspiring. We know that the three malachim came and each one of them had a different mission. We know that Malach Raphael came and his mission was to heal Avraham Avinu. Malach Michael came. What was his mission? His mission was to give over, to deliver the news to Avraham and Sarah that what? That they're going to have a child in exactly 1 year from now. And Malach Gabriel, what was his mission? To destroy Sodom. Malach Gabriel didn't really have to be there, honestly. He had no place visiting Avraham Avinu. There was no purpose in him being there. So what happened was that two of them came right into the tent, And Malach Gabriel kind of felt like a little left out, like, yeah, I don't really know him. We've never met before. You know, like when you go to a wedding or a party and you're with a friend or two, and then all of a sudden your friend starts speaking to like two or three other people in a group, you've never met those people, you're a little shy, a little embarrassed, and those people don't even talk to you. So how awkward could it be? It could be a little awkward sometimes. You feel a little left out, a little out of place. What did Avraham Avinu do? He ignored those two people that came to speak to him. The two people that felt that they belonged. And saw the outsider, the one that was hanging out outside, that felt out of place, uncomfortable. And went to go to him personally and invite him to come inside. Wow. Unbelievable. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, and I'll read it for you. Achen tam Avraham hu liot shirgish she'abet hayu mechuvanim pneim likanes etzlo. Avraham Avinu got the sense that those two malachim, they belonged, they needed to come inside. Ki elav bau, they came to him. Echad lerafuto ve'echad levaso. One to heal him, one to give him the good news. Ushluchim hem elav. They were meant to come to him. Asher lochen ashlishi, but not, which was not the case with the third one. Vehu Gabriel, sheba lafuch etzdom. Lo haya l'shayichut etzel Avraham. He had no business being by Avraham. Lezechila panav. Avraham Avinu turned his face to this person, to Gabriel. Shelo yavor me'alav. Please, don't just walk away. Vesheikanes etzlo imabet v'nitzatan dvarav. Said, come, you do belong. He made him feel comfortable. That was the midah of Avraham Avinu. The essence of achnasat orchim, guys, is to make the other person feel, when you're inviting him to your home, to make him feel as if he is reclining on a sofa in his own living room with his most comfortable clothing on, eating the most delicious food and drinking the most tasty drink. That's the point in the essence of achnasat orchim. If you could do that, there's nothing greater than that. That is a fulfilling achnasat orchim to its fullest. In the Midrash Avot Rabbi Natan, it tells us that when the Jews went up to Yerushalayim for the Shalosh Regalim, they didn't necessarily have a place to stay. Where did they stay when they went up to Yerushalayim? These are thousands of Jews we're talking. Tens of thousands of Jews all going up to Yerushalayim for 8 days. 7 days. Where are they staying? Somehow everyone was taken care of. Jews from all over Yerushalayim got up and they said, we want you to stay by us. We want you to stay by us. They did not charge a single penny for that. That's Am Yisrael. There's a story with Rav Baruch Ber. Was it Rav Baruch Ber or Rav Chaim Ozer? It's one of them, not sure. They were in their home and he was old and he wasn't well. It was during Sukkot. It was very, very cold outside. It was in Europe. There was a young rabbi that came, you know, to visit him and to ask him questions. And he welcomed him into the home. And he said, please come and sit in the sukkah. And he gave him something to eat. What did the rav do? He put on a heavy coat, put on a scarf, put on gloves. And the old and fragile rav that he was, he walked outside in the freezing cold, sat in the sukkah with this guest. And when someone asked him, it says, mitzta'er patur mina sukkah. Someone who is mitzta'er, someone who is in pain, is patur mina sukkah. You're patur from going to the sukkah. Why are you going outside to spend time with him? You don't need to. You're not obligated to. And what did he say? He said, although mitzta'er is patur from sukkah, however, mitzta'er is not patur from achnasat orchim. Not patur from that. So guys, we find ourselves here in a university. You know, we're all so busy with our own thing. When we're all meeting in person, you know, and we see each other, we still find ourselves to be very busy and too busy for other people. All the more so now that we're not even seeing our own peers, our own classmates in person. We tend to cling to our own circles, to our own comfort zones. Maybe every now and then we should just take a step out of our bubble. Try to connect to another Jew. hear his story, make him feel comfortable as a person. The pasuk says later on the parasha, when Avraham Avinu moved to Be'er Sheva, it says, "Vayita Eshel be'Be'er Sheva." Avraham Avinu planted an Eshel in Be'er Sheva. So the machlok in the Gemara in Sotah Daf Yud. So what exactly that means? The Gemara says, there's machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia. One opinion says, what did he plant? He planted a field with trees, fruit trees. And the other opinion says, no, he actually built himself a hotel. That's what he did. Whichever opinion you follow, the understanding is that Avraham Avinu, the first thing that he did when he moved homes, okay, is what? Is think about and brainstorm, how can I better assist the ones that need places to stay, that need things to eat. He built himself a hotel. He planted a vineyard, a field with many trees. That was Avraham Avinu. That's where his mind was. There's a story that I heard recently, an unbelievable story. There's a person, it was in a supermarket, in a local supermarket, on a very busy Friday afternoon. You could imagine what the kosher supermarkets are like on Friday afternoons. And there was a person standing online. Right in front of him online was this woman, you know, average woman, mid-aged. Her shopping cart was filled up to the top and was overflowing with food items. Finally, the cashier rings up every single item in her shopping cart. And, you know, says the amount, whatever it is. The woman takes out a credit card, hands it to the cashier. The cashier puts it in and says, "I'm sorry, your credit card was declined." She said, "It must be a mistake. Can you try it again?" Once again, tries it. "I'm sorry, your credit card is declined." And she says, "Okay, maybe can you put it on my account? My account number is 1234567 8, whatever it was. She puts in the numbers. "I'm sorry, you have an outstanding balance. I'm not able to put it on your account." Can you imagine the shame? How ashamed she is, how embarrassed she is. Imagine how badly she wants to bury herself on the spot and just disappear from there, where there are multiple people behind her that are hearing this entire conversation. She doesn't know what to do. She said, "All right, I guess I'll just leave everything here." She's about to break down. The guy standing behind her just whispers to the cashier, gives her the credit card, his own credit card, and says, "Whatever it is, just put it on my account. Don't worry about it." She sees him. Tears stream down her eyes. She didn't even know what to say. She was lost for words. She said to him, "Thank you." He said, "No problem. Don't worry about it. Have a good Shabbos." She packed up all her things and left. This next guy came to pay for his own belongings, rang it up, and he left. The guy standing behind him heard the entire conversation. And he overheard what the balance was. A couple of $1,000. He said to the cashier, "Here's my credit card, cover my groceries, and cover her balance as well." Took his bags, and just walked out of the store as if nothing happened. This story has a lot of meaning to it. It means a lot to me. It should mean a lot to you. Firstly, just a few takeaway messages. First of all, Mika Amcha Yisrael. How amazing is Am Yisrael? We see from here, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. How we should be viewing every single Jew as a brother and a sister. Wouldn't you do that for your brother if he needed it? Wouldn't you do that for your sister if she needed it? Unbelievable. This person, Mamash, lived his life in that way. Looked at this woman as if she was his own sister. But there's more. Rav Victor Miller, Zatzal, once said, if you want to become great in life, then every single day of your life, do a kindness for someone that no one knows about except for you. Hear that? Do something for someone else that absolutely no one knows about, no one will find out about. Why? What's the pshat? Because when you do things like that, it reveals what your standards are. When you brush your teeth in the morning, do you go out and announce it to every single WhatsApp group that you brushed your teeth every single morning? When you keep Shabbat, do you go and announce it? No. Because that is who you are. It's not a surprise. There's no surprises over here. So too over here. When you do a mitzvah, when you do chesed for someone else without fanfare, it reveals that this is the level that you're playing at. It reveals that this is who you are. It's nothing to you. This is who you are. It's like brushing your teeth every morning. This individual covered a couple of $1,000s of an outstanding balance on that woman's account and just walked out of the store like nothing ever happened. Unbelievable. But there's more than that. A person can do a chesed and a person can do a chesed. You could have two people, both lending money to the same poor person, both lending the same amount of money. In one case, the poor person feels like garbage receiving the money. In the other case, the poor person feels so comfortable, so at ease, feels like literally like $1 million. What's the difference? The difference is how you're doing that chesed. Are you doing it in a way that makes the person feel uncomfortable? You say like, listen, you really shouldn't be in debt. I'm really struggling financially these days, but whatever, I'll bail you out. Fine. Yeah, the woman is going to take the money, but she'll feel like garbage. Or do you just cover it, put the credit card back in your pocket, and walk out of the store like it means nothing to you? That woman felt so comfortable afterwards, as uncomfortable as the situation as it may be. In that story, not only did that person do the chesed, but he tried so hard not to make the woman feel uncomfortable in the slightest. That Rabotai was Avraham Avinu. That's who he was. There was a Rav in Europe before the war. On his way to shul every single morning, he would pass by this very intense anti-Semite. Every single morning he was sitting outside sipping a cup of coffee on his porch. And every single morning on his way to Bet Knesset, this Rav would look at him and say good morning. This guy, he had hatred towards Jews, you know, gushing out of his body. He bled hatred. Obviously, when this Rav said good morning to him, it ate him up alive. He always responded, he looked at him, looked at this Rav with a nasty look every single time. After a year or two, this nasty look, you know, eventually, it disappeared. And he didn't really answer back. He just didn't give a nasty look. There's a couple of years, every single morning, the Rav was doing this. The war broke out, and this Rav found himself on a line that would determine if he is fit for work and would stay alive for at least another day, or he would be put to death immediately. When it was Rav's turn, the Nazi guard looked at him and said to him, "Look into my eyes. Do you remember me?" After the Rav looked carefully into his eyes, he recognized that this was that nasty goy that he said hello to every single morning. The Rav said, "Yes, I remember you. I remember I used to say good morning to you every single day." The guard said to him, "Yes. Now you go on that line." And he sent him on the line that you would go to work, which ultimately saved his life. One word can do so much for a person and save a life. Parasha tells us about chesed, about achnasat orchim. You know, there was a story 3 years ago. There was a big hurricane. It was called, I believe, Hurricane Irma. I think that's what it was called. By the way, I love these names of hurricanes. They choose like the most random name, but like if you happen to be named, you know, Irene or Sandy or Irma, you know, like, and it was a devastating hurricane, you know, your name is going to be remembered forever, not in such a good way. But anyways, I don't know if anyone of you guys have an Irma in the family, but Hurricane Irma 3 years ago hit Florida very, very hard. And before the hurricane hit, they evacuated the homes of hundreds of thousands of people in Jewish communities as well. There was a Jewish community in Atlanta, Georgia, that reached out to the Jewish community in Boca Raton, Florida, and invited them, you know, as they were evacuating, invited them to take the trip to Atlanta. It's not so far away. You could drive it from Florida to Atlanta. It's not so far away, right? And basically, the entire community in Atlanta was on a mission. They were all on the bandwagon. The shul turned into a cafeteria. The schools turned into hospitality homes. Everyone's home in the community hosted another family, or maybe even two families. And a big Kiddush Hashem was made out of it. You know, Fox News in Atlanta went and covered the story and made a big deal out of it. And they interviewed some of the residents from Florida that made the trip to Atlanta. And you know what the takeaway message was? They said, "We feel at home. We feel like kings. We feel like they're taking care of us as if, you know, it is our own home." That's what chesed is. I was in LA a couple of years ago. I flew in for a wedding. And I stayed by one of my students' homes in Beverly Hills. I got to the home. The mother welcomed me in. She was very nice, very polite. She showed me our room. She said, "Listen, anything you need, let me know." A couple hours later, the father, a father walked into the home. And with his very, very heavy Persian accent, he comes to me and he says, "Do you have about 20 minutes right now?" I said, "Yeah, like what could he possibly need from me?" He said, "Yeah, I need you for about 20 minutes. I'm like, "Yeah, listen, you know, you're doing me a big favor by letting me stay in your home for free. You know, you opened up your home for me. The least I could do is do you a favor and give you 20 minutes of my time for something that you need." He says, yeah, it would mean a lot to me. Thank you." I was like, what is this guy? Maybe he needs an extra hand to carry heavy furniture. What does he want? He took me, he said, "Listen, I want to show you around the house. I want to show you every single room in my house. And it's going to take some time, so please come with me. Bli Ayin Hara is a big house." So first he takes me to the kitchen, takes me straight to the fridge. He opens up the fridge. He says to me, "You see everything inside of the fridge? It's yours." And closes the fridge. He opens up literally every single cabinet in the kitchen, every pantry. He showed me the meat cups, the dairy cups, the meat silverware, the dairy silverware. I was literally staying there for 3 days. It wasn't like such a big deal, you know. And I was planning on being out and going on, you know, sightseeing and tourist attractions with my wife. I wasn't going to just there asleep. Forks, knives, plates, you know, plasticware, packaged goods. Okay, that was the kitchen. Takes me to the dining room, to the living room. Shows me the couch. Shows me the Xbox, takes me upstairs, takes me to literally every single bedroom in the house. He takes me to his own bedroom. I'm like, I'm not going to go into your bedroom. Why are you showing me your bedroom? No. This is your home. You don't get it. This is your home. This is the master bedroom. This is where me and my wife sleep. But it's your home, so I need to show it to you. He took me to every single bedroom. He took me outside, showed me the pool, how to work the pool. Took me to the guest house. He showed me every square inch of the house. I've never felt that comfortable at someone else's home in my life. And I doubt I will ever feel that comfortable. That is Rabotai Hachnasat Orchim. It's not only about giving. It's how you give. It's thinking about making the other person feel comfortable. Sometimes it could be, you know, it could be in a way of inviting someone to your own home. Sometimes it could be in the way of reaching out to someone else and giving up and giving over your support, offering your support for something. Sometimes it could be just, you know, going and befriending someone that you know needs help. Not to show that you're pitying the person, like this individual, this host in LA. He made it seem like I was doing him a favor by coming to his house. And I really felt that way. Genuinely. So, Rabotai, I give you all a bracha. B'sat Hashem. We should never need to be hosted by anyone. We should never need to be given tzedakah. We should never need. We should only be on the giving side and not on the taking side. And when we are on the giving side, we should, when we do give, we should make others feel so comfortable. We should give without even second guessing. Give and give and give. Because after all, Rabbeinu Yonah says in Pirkei Avot that a person should always be giving tzedakah without boundaries. And when a person gives tzedakah, it's a segula for being rich. How do you explain such a thing? He explains it in a very rational way. That all money in this world belongs to Hashem, not to you. So Hashem gives you money. And Hashem gives every single Jew money as an investment. Hashem's investing the money in you. Is he going to get his returns? Is he going to get profit from the investment? The money that he's giving you, are you going to do mitzvot out of that? If yes, if it's a worthwhile investment for God, then he's going to give you more money. He's going to invest more money into your business. If he sees that you're not doing so well with the money that he's giving you, it's not paying dividends, then what? Then he won't give you that money anymore. He won't trust you. We give and we give and we give without thinking we're going to get in return tenfold. That's how it works. So I give you all the bracha. We should all be on the giving side, not on the taking side. Bezrat Hashem, in the zchut of achdut, in the zchut of achnasat orchim, of chesed, of selflessness, of being unselfish and being there for others at this time of need. Hashem Baruch Hu should send Yeshuot to all of Am Yisrael. Send refuah shlema, refuat nefesh, refuat guf. Send Yeshuot. Send Mashiach. Bezrat Hashem. B'mera ve'aminu. Amen. Thank you all for listening, and I wish you all a Shabbat Shalom Vorach.